Bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Another beautiful Sunday evening here in Nigeria, and of course beautiful weather. The sun has disappeared with the rains in the last 2 days, and of course people are having a greater and better time. Just hope you've been enjoying our Sunday broadcast on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. Remember, we are the station that brings Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. Positive Nigerian energy, positive Nigerian vibes, positive Nigerian narrative. And of course, it's time again for us to go on Doctor's Round. Doctor's Round with Dr. A.G. Ahmed. All right, Dr. A.G. Ahmed, are you here with us? Another beautiful Sunday. Sunday evening here in Nigeria, and of course, beautiful weather. The sun has disappeared with the rains in the last 2 days, and of course, people are having a greater and better time.
I'm your host as usual. Doctor's Round is conceptualized to provide adequate information, up-to-date information of various health conditions to the public. As usual, you have the opportunity to meet the guest speaker. Are we asking the guest speaker a few questions, and then later on the listeners can call in. Today's episode, we will be talking about colorectal cancer. Colorectal cancer is that C word that everybody was afraid of. Nobody wanted to talk about cancer, but Today, we'll be talking about colorectal cancer. And to do justice to this, is a guest, a very good colleague of mine, Dr. Adeyemi Laosebikan. Dr. Laosebikan has a mouth-watering CV. Welcome, Dr. Lau. I welcome you properly. But before you even say a word, I'm going to tell the world who this guy is. This guy that you see here is a proper Nigerian. He's a fellow of the Royal College of Surgeons in Edinburgh, College of Medicine, South Africa, and Royal College of Physicians and Surgeons. I decided to put physician because he's a physician first. What do you think? He's an associate professor of surgery from University of Saskatchewan. He had his medical training at University of Ilorin. Yeah. Right, from University of Ilorin, that big city. The gateway between the north and the south. Yeah. I don't want to praise the Ilorin people now, okay? So let me stop at that. He had his surgical training at the University of KwaZulu-Natal in Durban, South Africa. He specializes as a surgeon and specialist surgeon and head of department of surgery in Grace Hospital, also in KwaZulu-Natal. He did special training in laparoscopy and is interested really in health advocacy. And at the end of the day, that's the essence of this program. We want to ensure that people have the information to be able to advocate for themselves. More importantly, Dr. Olashebiko is actually the president of the Canadian Association of Nigerian, current president of Nigerian Physicians and Dentists. Dr. Olashebiko, welcome to Doctor's Round.
Thank you very much, AG. Thank you.
So what we're talking about is, but before we get started, how do you find leading a group of Nigerian physicians? Do you want to become the next president of Nigeria?
Thank you very much for that great question. The Canadian Association of Nigerian Physicians and Dentists is a big organization that represents over 2,000 physicians in Canada, as well as dentists. We have about 300 to 400 very active members, and the past year has been very interesting, to say the least. We all know the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on our way of life. It's not really allowed us to do as much as we would love to do physically, but it has opened the opportunity of the virtual world to us that we are able to do a lot remotely. This past year too opened the gateway for advocating for Black physicians and Black people in Canada. We all know what happened around the time of the death of George Floyd, and that has given us a voice to really speak on behalf of our fellow Black people in our community across Canada. We're doing a lot of collaborative work with other organizations across the world, the Nigerian doctors in the US, in the UK, in South Africa, in Germany. We all work together, and we have actually learned that our strength is in our working together. We also working together with a group, a newly formed group in Canada now, the Black Physicians of Canada, advocating together for all these rights. So it's been an interesting year, to say the least.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well done to you in particular and to all your colleagues. And this is part of the Spirit of Nigeria. This is what Spirit of Nigeria Radio is all about. to bring people. What is colorectal cancer? Is it different from colon cancer and all the rest of it? What is colorectal cancer?
Yeah, colorectal cancer basically describes a cancer that occurs in the large intestine. The large intestine, from the medical point of view, composes of the colon and the rectum, hence the word colorectal. So if a layperson hears colon cancer, it's the same thing as colorectal cancer. Now, cancer is, as you said earlier on, that C word that nobody wants to hear. But unfortunately, it's one of the realities that we face. It describes a disease that encompasses abnormal cells in any of the organs. And they have the characteristics of being aggressive. They can locally invade structures around them, and they can even spread to distant organs. And unfortunately, all over the world, one in six deaths today is as a result of cancer. And the unfortunate part of this statistic is about 70% of those deaths occur in low to middle income countries where, you know, Africa and Nigeria will fall under.
How common is it?
Oh, in all over the world, it's about the third most common cancer. And the second most common cause of cancer-related death. But specifically in Africa, it appears to be the fifth most common cancer after breast, cervical and uterine, prostate, and liver cancer. But again, when we look at cancer-related deaths, it is the second most common cause of death in Africa, including Nigeria. So
serious?
It may not seem to be common, but it is one of the leading causes of cancer-related deaths.
Why is that?
Well, quite a few factors. In our environment, because of the lack of access to quality health care, patients, individuals tend to present very late. And because they present late, the cost of care is very high. And we know that the economy is not good. That's one of the factors, again, that acts as a barrier for people to access healthcare in Nigeria. And unfortunately, if you can catch it early, you can treat it early and save a life.
Listen to this, Doc. He just returned to Lagos from holidaying at home. He reports feeling full and bloated, losing weight rapidly, easily fatigued, constipated. Alabuku won't walk. Andrew Salt did not work. He's just feeling unwell. His wife is concerned about his sudden loss of appetite. He's not enjoying the usual Bono and Gary. He was losing weight and he complained of abdominal discomfort. By the way, he's about 50 years old. What's going on?
Yeah, that's a patient or an individual that fits this disease profile very well. And this is a case of someone who has been experiencing some problems over the years, but has not really addressed it fully until it's come to this peak. And this is most likely a case of colorectal cancer that unfortunately might be advanced and late in the stage of the disease.
So how do I detect it early?
Very good question. Very good question. The way the cancer develops, in the early stage, majority of individuals do not have any symptom at all. And that is the best time to catch it, and that is the best time to treat it. And I hope that we get to talk about that towards the end of the program. But if you begin to experience blood in your bowel movement, you go to the bathroom and you notice blood. I know that we have things like jedi and hemorrhoids that are common in our community, and it is easy to attribute that symptom to it. If it is not settling and if it's becoming recurrent, it's one of those telltale signs that you need to get a checkup. If you experience a change in your bowel pattern, every individual will have an idea of what the regular bowel movement is like. And if you notice any change, be it a little more diarrhea than before, a little more constipation, or a mixture of constipation and diarrhea, those are telltale signs that the bowel is not happy and that one needs to have that looked into. You may get, just like our patient, abdominal discomfort, abdominal pain. It's lasting more than the usual 2 to 3 days, or it's becoming more frequent and increasing in frequency. Those are signs to say it is not just the odd stress that we face. It is not just that we ate something unusual. It is something going on in the colon that we need to look at. Other things that talk about advanced cases will be just loss of energy, feeling weak, because one's blood count is low. You go to the hospital for something and the doctor does a blood count and notices that your PCV or hemoglobin is low. Those are things that suggest that there's something chronic going on that you need to look at. And just like in our individual that you mentioned, weight loss. Weight loss is something that we need to take seriously. We need to learn to weigh ourselves regularly. And if you don't have the opportunity to weigh yourself, if you notice that your pants, your trousers is getting loose, start thinking about weight loss and try and figure out why you're losing weight. So those are things that tell us that something is going on.
Thank you very much for that, doctor. But how do you get this colorectal cancer, really? How do you get it? Because if I know how, maybe I'll protect myself.
That is a great question. There are multiple factors that lead to the development of cancer in general. And there's always an interaction between genetic predisposition or factors, as well as environmental factors.
What do you mean genetic?
Well, genetic, as we know, we all have genes. That is what determines who we are. And the way the body is, genes can develop certain problems, and the body needs to repair that. Think about your vehicle. You have a car, you bought it new. As you use it, the car undergoes some wear and tear, and you need to repair some parts. You can go to the mechanic, you are able to just fix it without changing parts, and some parts you might need to take out and put new ones. So the gene is like that. It undergoes some wear and tear and it needs to be repaired. As we age, we may lose the ability to repair these changes in our genes. And these changes in our genes can now give the body or the cells in the body wrong information to start misbehaving. And that is how cancer can develop from a genetic point of view. Now,
not necessarily because my father has it, my great-grandfather has it, not limited to that. It could be a change in my own gene.
Correct. And those changes can occur because of what we've been exposed to in the environment. Mm-hmm. So maybe you started eating Western type of diet. You started smoking excessively, drinking alcohol excessively. You love the good life. It's just red meat all the time. You stopped eating your vegetables, your fiber, your F4, your EBA, and food that give you fiber. You've started the lifestyle of McDonald's and KFC and Debonairs, things like that. So having a change in our usual way of life, you're not exercising as usual, you begin to become obese. These are things that predispose us to cancer generally. Now, if those changes in the genes last, you may pass that on to your immediate family members. So yes, we can now inherit those genetic aberrations, but that forms a small group of causative factors for colon cancer.
Interesting. Are there other environmental factors?
Well, majority of the environmental factors that I've mentioned will be in our way of life, the things that we eat and drink, and the lack of exercise. Just adopting a Western way of life in general.
Well, I just discovered it. I think there's a lot of fast food restaurants cropping up in Nigeria now. So we better watch it. I should still consider the Mama Bukateri and have a decent eba and a fori roll with less of bokoto and those fat. Eh?
Those things will be very helpful. When you eat the pommas and the bokotos and the shakis, these are fiber that help with digestion.
Thank you. The program is still Doctor's Round on Spirit of Nigerian Radio, and we're talking about colorectal cancer. Dr. Lau Shebiko has been given talking about the symptoms. He has explored the symptoms. But how do you doctors, you've said, you know what, it may be quiet, I don't know what's happening. How do you doctors diagnose colorectal cancer?
Yeah. Like I said earlier on, the best chance for successful treatment is an early diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And that also infers that delay in diagnosis can lead to a lower chance of survival and increase in the cost of treatment. Diagnosis addresses finding out a disease that's already developed. And it's different from screening. So majority of individuals that will fall into this category will have developed some symptoms that will require a doctor's help. And like I mentioned earlier on, if you notice any of those symptoms, instead of delaying and procrastinating, visit your healthcare worker and let your healthcare worker use his professional judgment from the story that you have given, that you would have given your healthcare worker, we call that the history, and the examination that the healthcare worker will do, he will be able to now look at the best investigation within your environment to determine if this disease is actually present or not. The ideal diagnostic tool will be a colonoscopy, using a flexible telescope to have a direct look into the large bowel. And if we see anything, we can now take a sample of that, send it to the lab to tell us exactly what it is. That establishes the diagnosis for us. Other things that we can use if a colonoscopy is not available will be an X-ray test called a barium enema. And that also involves injecting a dye or contrast into the large bowel. And after we shoot X-rays, we are able to see the outline of the colon and the rectum. And based on our knowledge, we can interpret that and say there's something of concern here. Other things that can help us will be a CT scan or ultrasound, but they don't necessarily pick up colorectal cancer as well as the previous two tests that I mentioned.
In terms of the screening, last week we were being told, and a lot of emphasis was laid on PSA. I'm sure the listeners will now be asking the doctor PSA. If there's something you're going to tell me today or tell the listener today about screening,
what would that be? Very, very, very great question. Now, you know, colorectal cancer is a very slow-growing cancer. And it is one of those cancers that develops from a normal cell through a few stages before becoming a cancerous cell. And when it becomes a cancerous cell, before it becomes really aggressive and spreads beyond a stage where we can cure, it also takes some time. Developing colon cancer can take an average of about 10 years. So that gives us a 10-year window to pick up the precursors of colon cancer or to pick up colon cancer in the early stage. Now, how do we screen for colon cancer? The best way we can screen for colon cancer is to test the stool, looking for evidence of blood that we cannot see. We call that the occult blood test. So on a regular basis, at least once every 2 to 3 years, it's advisable to visit your healthcare worker and have a stool test done, especially when you are when you reach the age of 50 and between the age of 50 and 75. Beyond 75, it may not be worth doing that screening on a regular basis, but the best chance to increase the opportunity to catch the disease early and to obtain cure is if we pick it up very early through screening. If the stool test shows evidence of blood, then the next test will be to do an evaluation of the colon using a colonoscopy, if that's available, a barium enema, if it is not. In specialized centers, we use a CT scan to actually look at the colon. So anybody over the age of 50, or should I say anybody between the age of 50 to 75, have a chat with your healthcare worker or your doctor and see if you do need a stool test.
Excellent. So in addition to PSA that we talked about last week, if you're over the age of 50, you may want to remind your doctor, have you done my occult blood? So we're now developing a list of things that we will be asking. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll be talking about how to treat colorectal cancer. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back soon.
Yeah.
was Christy Essie with Shewriri. Shewriri, of course, today, I know it's not happening in Canada, but all over the world, in some places, it's Mother's Day, and we just decided to give our mothers a treat with that song. All right, Shewriri by Christy Essie on Mother's Day. Spirit of Nigeria Radio, Doctor's Round continues with Dr. A.G. Ahmed. Over to you, Dr. A.G.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much again. Happy Mother's Day to mothers in Nigeria and all over the world. I hope you're having a great deal. And we're promising to Shewriri. You know, we're going to be good kids, right? All right. Before we went on break, Dr. Lau Shebiko was discussed the symptoms, the diagnosis of colon cancer. We're not going to move to the area that talks about treatment. How do you treat colorectal cancer?
Treatment can be done in a few ways. It's usually a combination of surgery, radiation, and chemotherapy. And those three modalities can be used either in isolation or in combination. Just to clarify that. If the disease is picked up early, then surgery might be all that we need, and the patient or the individual may not need chemotherapy. But if there's any evidence of what we call systemic disease, that the disease has spread beyond the colon into the lymph glands or into the other surrounding organs, then chemotherapy may be needed. Radiation is one of those tools that helps to facilitate cure, especially controlling the disease in the local site, especially within the rectum. But very important that your physician determines, with your help, the goal of treatment. Once we've done a diagnosis, we usually go through a phase of preoperative staging to know, to have an idea of how far this disease is. And we are able to determine to some degree before surgery if we can establish a curative goal plan. Or if we can't, then we call it a palliative goal plan. Once surgery is done, we now get more evidence to support whether a surgery was curative based on the assessment of the specimen that we remove to see if there's any residual cancer cells beyond the margins of where we found it. And that can affirm the curative goal plan. If there is evidence of disease beyond the area of where we operated, then we may have to change our goal plan to palliative at that point. Very important, one of the key strategies in treatment is to ensure that we are able to give the individual the best quality of life and life without debilitating pain. So these are conversations that we have with the individual when they present, before we embark on a treatment plan.
Essentially, are there different, from what you've said, it seems as you're saying that there are different types of cancer. Broadly, there could be the ones localized, there could be the ones that are spread all over the place, because we know cancers tend to spread, right?
Correct.
And your treatment choice would depend on whether you're dealing with localized and or they're spread. Are there other factors that go into choosing what kind of treatment?
Yes, thank you very much for that clarification. Once we look at the disease factor, is it local or is it spread? We also have to look at the patient factor. Are you strong enough to withstand this type of treatment or that type of medication? So there is the physiological assessment of the individual to see how much reserve we have at the time of presentation. Because at times, if we cannot take surgery, surgery can end up causing you more harm than good at this stage of disease. And that is where we now have that conversation that our goal is to give you a better quality of life, and this is the best way to achieve that. If you were able to tolerate surgery, the next question will be, are you a good candidate for chemotherapy? If you are not a good candidate for chemotherapy, that will not be offered. And if you are, there are different types of chemotherapy that can be tried based on side effects and other things that develop down the line. So
What makes me a good candidate for chemotherapy?
Good energy level after surgery, good recovery from surgery, good reserve, and the ability to tolerate the medication. So some individuals, after we give a trial of medication or we give the first dose, we assess their body's response and we assess the disease response as well. If the body tolerates it, we keep giving it. If the body can't tolerate it because of side effects, we may have to modify the dose or change to something else. The other thing is assess the disease response. So let's say there was a spread to the liver that we are monitoring. If we give the first two or three doses, we assess if there's a change. If the cancer is growing while you're getting chemotherapy, it means that is not doing you any good but harm. If the cancer is beginning to shrink, then we continue with that until we complete that dose. So quite a few stages of assessment as we go along. It's a journey that can take about 3 to 6 months after a surgery.
Interesting. It appears as if one of the things you're saying here, very importantly to our listeners, is that the better the quality of health that you have, the better the outcome for treatment. If you're smoking and you have other complicating disease, you're overweight and so on and so on, I don't know, I'm a shrink, I'm just a psychiatrist. Does that really compromise or does that influence the outcome of the treatment?
Significantly so, because for us to be able to perform surgery, for example, you need to go under anesthesia. You need a good functioning lung. You need a good functioning heart to be able to tolerate anesthesia well and recover well from that. Surgery is always easier in somebody that is nice and slim as opposed to somebody that is robust or somebody that we call has a good body span. So, those factors come in. And you do, interestingly, you mentioned the fact that you're a psychiatrist. Mental health also plays a significant role in how we recover from cancer treatment. Our immune system is the same system that we use to deal with worries and emotional disturbance. So if we are worrying too much, if we have depression, if we do not have a positive life attitude, our outcomes to surgery and other treatments may not be as well as if we have a good mental health state.
So what is the outcome of this treatment? What's the outcome?
Like I mentioned earlier on, the earlier we pick up the disease, the better the outcome. For example, somebody that presents with what we call a stage one disease has a 90 to 100% chance of cure, all right? Stage one disease. Stage two, it's about 85 to 90%. And it drops significantly as we enter stage three and stage four. So the key is picking up this disease early or actually preventing it from occurring. So once we've got a good understanding of the stage of the disease, one is able to advise the individual patient as to what the expectations are. Some people can beat that expectation and some people may not. Again, lots of factors go into survival after surgery. But more importantly, the message here is the early we pick it, we diagnose it, the better. But better still, prevention is better than aiming for cure. Prevention is cheaper than aiming for cure. Prevention is safer than aiming for cure.
Excellent. And I'll be coming back to this issue of prevention. The listeners are listening to Dr. Srong, and this is about a time that you can send in your questions. And we have a question coming in. Toye, can you go on with that question, please?
All right. It's coming in from the tweet, and it's saying that you talked about 50 to 75 years. Doesn't it happen, you know, to people from a lower age like 40?
That is very true. Thank you for that question. It's a very, very important question. It can happen even in individuals that are 20, 25, or 30 years old. And that is a question of risk factors. Genetic or hereditary cancers usually occur at an earlier age than sporadic developing cancers, or cancers that develop just out of the blue. And majority of these cancers, talking about colorectal cancer, about 80% fall into this category of cancers that just occur out of the blue. So in terms of screening, if you do not have any risk factors, no family history, you are just a healthy, average person, start talking to your doctor from the age of 50 to look into the screening protocol that is right for you. If you have a family history, or if you have any predisposing risk factors, then you want to do screening or checks for colon cancer at an earlier age. And the logic is, look at somebody in your family that had colon cancer, look at the age that they were diagnosed. Everybody that is 10 years younger than that individual at the time of diagnosis must go for screening. So if somebody in your family developed cancer at age 50, then start screening at age 40, because we said it can take up to 10 years for cancer to develop. If somebody in your family developed cancer at the age of 30, then everybody over the age of 20 and starting from the age of 20 needs to go for screening. And those type of individuals get to be screened more frequently and more aggressively.
Thank you very much for that. And there's another question here. Doctor, do cancer of the colon actually occur in Nigerians based on the protective factor of our food? I think that's what the...
Yeah, excellent. There is a cancer of the colon and the rectum in Nigeria. And it is something that we see all over Africa. With westernization of our way of life, including our diet, we are beginning to see more and more and more and more of it. So the evidence is out there saying that the diagnosis of colon cancer or rectal cancer is increasing in the Black population in Africa. Unfortunately, we don't keep good data in Nigeria, so I cannot give you accurate data in Nigeria, but South Africa, for example, has seen a significant rise in the diagnosis of colorectal cancer among the Blacks with the freedom from apartheid and many Blacks now having a better socioeconomic status. So, yes, it does occur.
Sorry, doctor, to interrupt. Is it really increasing, or we're diagnosing it more, or both?
It is a combination of both. It is a combination of both, because the truth of the matter is the average Nigerian is a little more heavier than 20, 25 years ago. Remember when we were growing up, you walked to school as opposed to being driven to school, or you walked to visit your friend as opposed to driving a car. Your work actually was more outside than inside. So we are, if we look at how our lifestyle is now, we're beginning to fit the profile of those who have an increased risk of developing colonopathy is increasing. And also true, because of improved health care, we are beginning to pick it more in our community. So it's a combination of both.
Right. So the sedentary lifestyle, the McDonald's and KFCs and all those oils, we better be careful. You're still on Doctor's Round on Spirit of Nigerian Radio. I've been warned. And the number to call is +234-705-320-1010. That's 234-705-320-1010. With your questions, Dr. Lasha, because you've talked so much about prevention, is this preventable? Is cancer
very
preventable?
Very, very preventable. As a matter of fact, the WHO said that in 2018, we could have prevented 30 to 50% of the cancers that developed. So that is for cancer in general. So cancers are generally preventable. And so is colorectal cancer. Like I mentioned earlier on, it takes about 10 years from the time a cell transforms from normal to abnormal cancerous cells. So we've got a 10-year span of picking up polyps. These are growths within the bowel that develop from abnormal cells that we can now see by just removing them during the time of colonoscopy and preventing that individual from developing colon cancer. So if you do your regular checkups, your doctor is able to assess your risk profile. Based on your risk profile, your doctor should be able to put you on a screening program that fits your risk profile. That may just be testing your stool for evidence of bleeding. And if there's none, you're great. If there is, you go for a colonoscopy. If at colonoscopy, we identify polyps, almost all those polyps can be removed at colonoscopy without needing surgery. A small group of polyps may need surgical removal, and they may not even have cancer.
And What are polyps again?
Yeah, polyps are little growths that can develop in the lining of the bowel. Just think about when you were a young 13, 14-year-old and you develop pimples on your face. Right. You can have those kind of little lumps and bumps in the lining of the colon. And a trained endoscopist can pick those up and remove them.
Thank you. So now you've talked about it. One question that just came in here is cancer of the colon curable? And if so, I believe there are two questions here. Where can I access such treatment in Abuja?
That's a very good question. And that just reiterates the point that we've made, that cancer of the colon can be cured if we pick it up in the early stage. So stage one, stage two colon cancers can be amenable to just surgical treatment and no need for chemotherapy. Now, once you've had your surgery, we have to follow you up for a minimum of 5 years. And again, there's a protocol that we follow to achieve this. And we know things that we are looking for that may suggest the cancer coming back or the cancer showing up in areas where we may have missed because they are small. So the risk of cancer of the colon coming back is higher in the first 5 years. And we actually divide those 5 years to the first 2 to 3 and the last 2 years. If it's going to come back, it's higher in the first 2 to 3 years than the last 2 to 3 than the last 2 years. But generally speaking, we follow you up for 5 years. And if nothing shows up in 5 years, we declare you your risk. Where can you access that cure in Abuja? You need to visit your family doctor or your healthcare worker that you access regularly. They will know of specialists who have the skills to not only diagnose, but treat colon cancer, be it with surgery, and can refer you onward if you do fall into the group that needs chemotherapy.
Thank you very much, Doctor. You're still on the Doctor's Round on Spirit of Nigerian Radio. We're welcoming questions from you. Sending your question on +2. Yes, there's a question coming in there, right? Please go on with that question.
The question says, Doctor, you talked about stool in the feces. Sorry, blood in the feces. Is it every time that there is blood in the feces that suggests colorectal cancer?
That is an excellent question. So the common things that will cause blood in the feces or the stool will be hemorrhoids. The other things that will cause blood in the stool will be what we call diverticular disease, or you can have some inflammation of the colon, be it as a result of a bacterial infection, a viral infection, or some your body just reacting to something. Occasionally, some abnormal blood vessels can just rupture and bleed. But here is the thing. Blood is blood. When I look at blood, I cannot tell you that this blood is coming from just hemorrhoids or blood coming from cancer. So it's very important that when you and I notice blood in our bowel movement, we have to think of the worst case scenario. And just think about it, is it cancer? Now, what do you do with that information? Speak to your healthcare worker. Your healthcare worker can now advise you based on his examination and recommendation of a test to say, rather do this, let's make sure we rule that out. So every time you have blood in the bowel movement does not necessarily mean it's cancer. But it's very important to think that it could be so that you don't ignore it and pick it up in the early phase.
Thank you. And this is another question that came up. What about Jedi, doctor? What about Jedi? What does that mean? Is this colon cancer? Is it? I don't know.
Yeah, that's also another great question. Because the large intestine is within the body, and because it is doing its job filled with feces, it can be difficult to examine. So when something's happening in it, like we said earlier on, it could be quiet, asymptomatic, not show its face. So we have these common ailments like Jedi, just like we mentioned. And the rule of thumb for every doctor is when you have an individual that fits the age profile where you expect a cancer, if they come and visit you or if they have any symptom, try and figure out if that symptom is occurring from cancer. So if you are a 40-year-old person in Nigeria that thinks you have Jedi, you may be 100% right, but I will always suggest that you visit your doctor and say, I've had Jedi, it's happening it's becoming more frequent. It's becoming more common now. It's not going with the usual treatment. Is there something else going on? Can I have a checkup to rule that out? So anybody that falls within that age group that can have cancer should not just assume that it is not cancer or it is just jedi, but get a test to rule that out. You could be saving yourself and doing yourself a lot of favor.
Well said, doctor. Usually at this stage, I will ask for tips that you wish to give to listeners, but I've been warned about time because this has been a great discussion. Just tell me, is there one thing you would like to tell listeners today to watch out for when it comes to talking about cancer, colorectal cancer? Just one thing.
If you have any concerns with your bowel function, speak to your doctor and get yourself educated. Thank you.
And you're contributing to that education. You've done a great job. So there you have it again, listener. We've come to the end of today's round. We have to be looking at next week again when we will meet. But on your behalf, I would like to thank Dr. Lau Shebiko for what he has done. He's done a great job. Remember, you have something else to add to this PSA we talked last week. You're going to be asking your doctor, have you done my occult blood? That's very important. You have those abdominal pain. Talk about it to your doctor. I would like to thank Spirit of Nigerian Radio, the crew. Thanks to you. And you know what? We'll be here next week again. And, you know, for you coming with this time-saving thing, now, wow, you know, this daytime saving, that one really confused, man. Sweet home. Have a great week, and we will see you again on Doctor's Round. My name is A.G. Ahmed. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Dr. A.G. Ahmed and Dr. Adeyemi Lashebiko. Very interesting edition of Doctor's Round on Spirit of Nigeria Radio.